Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Luth Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indy Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here's your host, David Swope.
All right, good morning. It's Saturday morning. That means it's time for the New Mexico Motorsports Report, exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. I'm your host, David Swope, and we'll be talking about automotive and related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene every Saturday morning here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Whether it has two wheels or four, asphalt or dirt track racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about it. This is New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsports, and we hope you enjoy every minute of it. And I tell you, I don't know if you're like me, but I'm really excited. Now that March is here, other than the allergies, now it's time to really get out and enjoy things. And I tell you, the best way is to enjoy it on two wheels. Over at Indian Motorcycle, they've got a major reveal today. And I'd like to say it's 8 o'clock in the morning. They're going to be going solid in like 2 hours. And we are going to break the news. There is some excitement that they've been holding back on. I believe that there's a new bike. But I got Mike Gaior to come in the studio this morning. He's going to tell us all about it. How you doing, Mike?
I am doing fine, David. Thank you very much. You're absolutely right. The allergies are in full bloom, and I am affected by it.
Absolutely. But let's talk. I don't know what's going on. I heard something about a new bike. Now, is this a new model, or is this a whole new thing?
Well, this is a new model. It's a reveal, and you come see it live. It's the Springfield. This is one of the historic models that they had in the past. There's a reconfiguration of the bike, a variation of the theme of the bikes that we have now. But it's a Springfield. Come out and see it at 11 o'clock. We'll have it under some sheets. And 11 o'clock, the sheets will come up, and we'll have another bike to the lineup of Indian Motorcycles to the public in New Mexico.
That's fantastic. So what is the namesake with the Springfield?
Well, you know, like every model that's come out since 2014, it takes its name from history, and then they bring it forward. So they take the attributes of what the Springfield was, and then they put it in a theme on the platform that they have now, and they just bring out another model. So it's kind of fun. It's best engineered Indian motorcycles ever to hit the road as far as riding and style, and the Springfield is here, and you can come see it at 11 o'clock.
Well, I finally got to crack open the file and take a look at it. And, of course, I don't know if they sent it to me in red on purpose because they know I have an affinity for red, but it is absolutely gorgeous. And just like we've talked about on the show before, the lines and the detail where they're modern still look like that bike could be 50 years old. And, of course, it's in mint condition because it's brand new, but it's an absolute beautiful bike, and you can get all kinds of accessories and different things on it. And so today you guys have an event around actually being able to reveal this new bike. Talk a little bit about what maybe to expect if you come by today.
Well, you know, at the dealership, we always try to create some excitement for the new brands coming out. You'll get to see we have the Scout 60, which is exciting because that is the configuration that's going to allow Harley-Davidson and Indian to go back against each other on AMA flat track in September. So the Harley Indian Wars are back on the flat track. So the 60s in the shop. We've got about three of those that are available to purchase. We've also got the Scout, and then we got the full complement of the Vintage, the Classic, the Chieftain, and then the Roadmaster. So the full complement, you get to see it, you get to see a little bit of eye candy. They are modern machines. They ride like a dream. And they're available to see here at the dealership today.
One thing I think that is really neat that I can tell that has been thoughtfully done is the way that the brand is fully integrated. I mean, you've got apparel, you've got, you know, collector's items, but done a very, very nice job of not, you know, sensationalizing anything, but basically staying true to the brand, including saw an article about in the Return to Racing, the Black Bullet actually going out to the Salt Flats and going through that again. And I mean, that's an incredible bike. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, make sure you Google that and check that out. But what's really neat is how, you know, the riding community and everything has embraced it. And you got some promotions coming up with your 1 year anniversary, which is really only Saturday, March 19th, which is just right around the corner. Talk a little bit about that event and congratulations on your 1 year anniversary.
It's been a lot of fun. I tell you, Indian Motorcycle has a long lineage of history in the racing scene, and the Bonneville history and the tie to Indian Motorcycle is long. You know, what we're going to do on the 19th is we're going to have music in the back. We're going to have some food in the back, in the backyard. We like to call our back area the backyard. We're going to have a vintage motorcycle. We've got vintage motorcycles of all makes and models coming in. In fact, we have Dave Campos, one of our local speed demons. Dave Campos hit about 315, I don't know exactly what it was, over 300 miles an hour on a streamliner, and he's bringing that bike out.
Wow.
So it'll be a lot of fun. We're excited about motorcycling in New Mexico on an Indian or whatever you're riding. Come on by. It's going to be a motorcycle scene. Come and take in some of the energy, some food and some music, and we'll have a good time.
Well, and I think that's one thing that is really great about what you guys have done is you're taking it back to the competition. I mean, you want to compete on all fronts with them, but you're also inclusive. You know, I mean, if you're a rider, you're part of the rider community. And so it's more than just, hey, only on an Indian. I mean, want to be much more inclusive. And I think that's one thing you guys are doing great with your 1 year anniversary sale. But want to talk about, I mean, an event you got coming up just next week on Friday. And it's the Caravan, they're going to Caravan East. Talk a little bit about what that's about, the Onagers.
Well, actually, the Onagers Motorcycle Fundraiser, this is for Fallen Soldiers of New Mexico. It's just another way for us to kind of support the riding community. There's going to be riders in there from every dealership, from every walk of life, supporting those guys. They're doing a great cause. And the Indian Motorcycle Riders Group will be supporting that and driving out there and having lunch and doing what they're doing. The motorcycle community in this town is incredible. There's a need they see. And they step up to the plate, so to speak, in rallying support, rallying funds. Just a great community to be a part of.
Yeah, and it's great that you guys are embracing that. And there's so many other things you could do. For those who don't know, I mean, let them know where the dealership is and how they can connect with the community.
Well, we're at 4509 Alameda. We're about a half mile west of I-25 on Alameda. We're on the north side of the street, right next to Wise Pies. And if you come down the road, you won't miss it. We got a big tower. We got the big Indian logo out in the front. We got a logo on the building, and you'll see some of those beautiful bikes along the street.
Well, and beautiful is maybe an understatement. We've talked a couple of times about what care you guys took in the design and everything on the building. I know you have some special feelings about the cafe and the personal connection you have. But one thing that's kind of neat about the annual anniversary event that you guys are going to do is it's going to be an opportunity to share your memorable moments on an Indian motorcycle. And, of course, you're going to have some cool swag giveaway and different stuff like that. Let's talk a little bit more about the event and maybe what else they could expect at the anniversary party on the 19th.
Well, you know, the ride on a motorcycle is really the adventure and getting out and seeing things. What we're going to do this year is at the 1 year anniversary, we're going to give away a Wasp cam. And this is a cam that you can record your rides. And the winner of that, we'd like them to come back to us and kind of share with us some of the videos of their ride. And then we'll put that up on our Facebook page. We'll put that up on our web page and just show what the beauty of New Mexico is. If it's on an Indian motorcycle, if it's on something else, if you're riding a motorcycle in New Mexico, you know what the beautiful scenes of this state can provide, and we just like to bring that back and help us do that and spread that that view and enthusiasm for the state of New Mexico on a motorcycle.
Well, and just think about the beautiful landscapes that you could catch with that, and the beautiful bikes, and you know, kind of for. I was just curious what your memorable moment, you know, on an Indian motorcycle. I mean, how did you, was it hard to get you excited about getting involved in this dealership? I think I kind of know the answer, but I'm just curious. Talk a little bit about maybe how that all came about and maybe some of your memories of Indian over the years.
Well, you know, the opportunity about 3 years ago came to us to New Mexico through a friend of mine who was aware that Indian Motorcycle had been acquired and was going to look for a dealership for New Mexico. And I had been involved in business and in banking in the state for a long time and never really found an opportunity if I wanted to do something outside of banking. But when that brochure hit the table, I looked at it, and I knowing the history that I have, being a lifelong motorcycle rider, knowing the history of motorcycle, I thought to myself, this is going to get complicated. And it was exciting. It's been exciting. It's been well received. We haven't looked back. We are just jazzed to be part of this whole reemergence of the brand.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's sort of like, wow, you know, I mean, getting that opportunity, you kind of, you know, waited until the right thing came along. And then, like you said, it got complicated because of all the adjustments you've got to make in your schedule, you know, to do other things. But the passion is, you know, is definitely, you can definitely feel it. You could definitely, you know, hear it in your voice. But, let's let everybody know one more time. You know, where the location is and how they can come out and see this new, beautiful reveal today at 11 o'clock.
We're at 4509 Alameda, about a half a mile west of I-25 on Alameda, right next to Wise Pies. You'll see our dealership. We have a big tower out front, and there's going to be parking in the back of the building. There's going to be parking alongside. Come join us. Come check out. Have a little fun with motorcycles and experience what Indian Motorcycles bring into New Mexico.
Awesome. Hey, Mike, thank you for coming in this morning and spend some time with us. I know you're going to be super busy later today, but thank you very much for your time.
Dave, you've been a great supporter, and we thank you very much, and see you around town.
Absolutely. All right. We got a whole lot more coming up on the New Mexico Motorsports Report here exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
Since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been a staple in the Southwest hot rod scene. Yearwood Performance is the expert, giving you the edge you need on the track and the street. Knowledge of what to use and how to use it. Fuel injection, ignition systems, gauges and accessories. Everything you need all in one place. New Mexico's oldest and largest speed shop, Yearwood Performance. 341 Eubank just south of I-40 and 9674 Eagle Ranch Road across from Costco on the west side. Buy local, save time and money. YearwoodPerformance.com.
Daniel's Heating and Air Conditioning is a locally owned and operated company, and no matter what the forecast is, the temperature in your home or business will be perfect. Daniel's customer service is unmatched. Daniel specializes in repairs, maintenance, and replacements for both residential and commercial. When you have a heating or air conditioning issue, you can always count and trust Daniel's for round-the-clock service. Daniel's offers solutions at a price you can afford. With two locations in Albuquerque and Santa Fe, we are here for you. Give them a call at 898-8860.
SunWest Mortgage is the hottest lender in the market, a USDA lender of the year. They do it all from 0% down, manufactured home loans, to the Native American 184 program, a one-stop finance shop for their clients. SunWest is a common-sense direct lender. That's why they were lender of the year. Call them today, 373-1234. Whether you're looking to buy or refinance a home, this will be the best call you've made. SunWest Mortgage, licensed in New Mexico, NMLS number 03201.
Do you need to paint your home? Do you really want to do it yourself? 360 Painting of Albuquerque can help. Specializing in interior, exterior, decorative, and faux finishes, 360 Painting of Albuquerque will add that creative touch to your home or business. 807-0202, 807-0202.
You wouldn't put an elephant down the drain. You already know it would get stuck and make the sewer back up. And we've told you not to put grease down the drain because it could get stuck and make the sewer back up. Now there's one more thing to remember. Disposable wipes don't belong down the drain either. Even so-called flushable ones. Like grease, wipes can cause sewer overflows. Grease and wipes belong in the trash, not the drain. Elephants, meanwhile, belong in the jungle. A message from the Water Authority.
David Swope here with the New Mexico Motorsports Report. When it comes to car audio and security, there's only Driver's Den. Top sound equipment by Alpine, backup cameras, and Bluetooth. Driver's Den on Eubank at Constitution, 293-8211, driversdenabq.com.
Luce Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive. Professional, but not a big box shop. Personal, where they know your name with phenomenal auto service and repair for more than 30 years. Now the home for Luce Customs. Show quality paint and complete custom builds and restorations, including creative fabrication and mechanical engineering. Recognized Industry Excellence Awards at SEMA and the 18th Annual Good Guys Southwest Nationals. 9401 Central, just east of Wyoming. 296-4816. Like them on Facebook at LUCE Customs. JWaltonAuto.com. The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone call at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Luce Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And joining the show now is Ryan McGee. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm good. It's, you know, it's just I'm busy all the time, but I'll take busy.
Absolutely. Well, busy is better than not busy. And I tell you, you know, what's interesting is here we are 2 weeks into this season, and maybe we're starting to figure out what the season might look like because Daytona is such an anomaly. Atlanta taught us a lot, but before we move to Atlanta, let's talk a little bit about Daytona. My perspective on the race is if we wouldn't have had that great finish, I'm not sure it was is necessarily one of the best Daytonas ever. There was a lot of technical things going on, but I think from the fan base, other than the pinned up frustration of waiting for a big one, I'm not sure without that finish that Daytona kind of delivered on what it normally does. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think that was the perception. I think the reality is, I mean, the Daytona 500 typically is, you know, there are long stretches where everybody kind of gets in line, particularly, listen, when it's time for green flag pit stops, which we had, everybody's getting in position for that. And when we come out of the pits, it's all crossed up. But there are historically at least two or three big stretches during the race where everybody gets in line for a little bit, minds their P's and Q's, kind of does a diagnostic check, and then gets ready for the end of the race. And that's what we had. It was not the greatest Daytona 500 of all time, but you remember, we had one of the greatest finishes of all time. And ultimately, that's what people are going to remember. It's funny because there's this revisionist history that takes place, right. I think, more with motorsports than anything else. And, you know, these races that have these great finishes, you know, I wrote a story last year about the legendary Bristol night race, you know, the first time that Earnhardt wrecked Terry Labonte and Terry Labonte won the race. It was a terrible race. The last 20 laps were awesome. And there was a great wreck early in the race. But there was like a two-hour rain delay, and there weren't a lot of lead changes in the 79 Daytona 500. A terrible race. The 76 500, awful. But the finishes, you know, decades later are what we remember, and ultimately, I think we get a couple of years under our belt. Well, all we're going to remember about that day in Daytona is one of the greatest finishes of all time.
Well, and that no doubt was, it was interesting to have an opportunity to talk to Joe Gibbs after the race, and to, you know, have his thoughts of when he saw the contact and whether he thought he was going to lose all four cars coming out of turn four when they were leading.
Yeah, it's funny. I was at Martinsville. Gosh. 25 years ago, and it's kind of the nightmare scenario for team owners that everybody points out, and Rick Hendrick had it at Martinsville. I want to say it was Ken Schrader and Ricky Rudd, and those guys are battling 1-2 and wrecked each other at the end of the race and lost. And in fact, we've seen this before with Hendrick cars. So, yeah, it happens, and that was kind of one of the initial knocks when teams started talking about going to multi-car teams as opposed to just having single-car teams. But listen, if I'm a car owner, as much of a nightmare scenario as it is, and I know Joe Gibbs has said this, you still want your guys to race as hard as they possibly can. And even Denny Hamlin, who was so funny after the race because he said, listen, he's turned into this spokesperson for teamwork. And so he thought, man, you know, with 10 laps to go, he was like, I'm going to hang on. With 5 laps to go, I'm going to wait. And then even with 2 laps to go, even he was like, forget it. I got to try to win the race. And ultimately, as long as they're doing that, that's all that matters.
Well, and I think what a class act. And it was great to see, Toyota finally, you know, get that race. Now, I can't believe there's still a lot of backlash at the fact that, you know, it's not a Ford or a Chevy or Dodge that won that race. I mean, after after all of this time. But let's talk a little bit about Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs Racing. You had a great article. Reminding us of the situation with JD. And I was fortunate enough, just the luck of the draw, to be at Steak and Shake after the race. And the trophy walks in with Coach Gibbs, and had a few minutes with him. But talk a little bit about the article and about the strength of the team and how a lot of things kind of gel and evolve around JD.
Yeah, and listen, JD's a friend of mine and has been for a long time. He and I are about the same age. You know, when I first started going to the racetrack on a regular basis, you know, in the 90s, he was in charge. You know, he was kind of learning it at the hand of his father. And then when his dad went back to coach Redskins that second time around, they put JD in charge, and he stayed in charge. And the big moves that team has made, and they've made so many, you know, over the last 15 years, whether it's changing manufacturers a couple of different times, or expanding, or, you know, rolling the dice on a Denny Hamlin that, quite frankly, no one outside of Virginia knew anything about. Those are all J.D. Gibbs moves. You know, even shutting down the engine department and deciding to, you know, roll the dice and let TRD take over at a time when, quite honestly, people thought that was a little nuts. And so the fingerprints of what J.D. Gibbs has done are all over that team because he's run that team, and his dad knows that. And you heard him talk about that after the race when we were sitting in the media center at Daytona. And it's just heartbreaking. You know, it's just proof to me that, you know, one of the most beloved guys in the sport, one of the guys who loves auto racing and has since he was a little boy, my age, mid-40s, to be robbed of, you know, your day-to-day life, and to not know what the future is going to be, and for his four children and his wife to have to deal with this. It's just evil. It's just proof there's evil in the world. But when there's moments like we had at Daytona, and he was in victory lane, and he had a good day that day, he was remembering names, and he was saying hello to people that morning, that made it an extra special moment for whether you know J.D. Gibbs or not. It just, that was, winning the Daytona 500 is always great. But winning it in that situation, just like winning the championship at Homestead a few months earlier, they all dedicated JD, and they should.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. I think it's a testament to the strength of that team. To hear Denny Hamlin actually talking about, you know, staying together as a team, and the only reason he went up, or that he says he went up, was to block the momentum from Harvick. And then the race is on. I mean, really, it was at that point, they had to do what they had to do, but we're absolutely amazing. All right, so we had Atlanta last week. So what have we learned about the new reduced downforce package, and who's in good position, and who is now at, you know, going to struggle?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell from one race, and it's certainly hard to tell from one race when we basically had no cautions the entire race. We
right.
had super long green flag runs, 200 laps, whatever it was, and so, you know, it's hard to say now. I think we'll have a much better indication once the Vegas race is over this weekend. You know, the teams went out there early and tested on Thursday. They tested there back in January. This is really the measuring stick, and the teams all told me that. Now, that being said, I was really encouraged by what we saw in Atlanta. You know, you had tires wearing out because of the old surface. You had cars that were running multiple lines. You had cars that were sliding around. And this is what these guys want. You know, I think about 2014 and what a crazy great season that was, particularly the first two-thirds of the year when we had all those different winners. And you had, you never knew who was going to win the race each weekend. It was refreshing after so many years when one guy would catch fire and dominate. Why in the world NASCAR decided to change that in 2015, I don't know. And I think that they're tinkering with the aero package that was so great in 2014 and going in a completely opposite direction in 2015, racing wasn't as good, drivers weren't as happy. I really believe that move of just for the making change for the sake of making change, that was a big impetus in this whole thing we're seeing with the driver council and with the RTA and with this charter thing. That was kind of the last straw because it cost the teams a lot of money. And quite honestly, it turned the racing in the wrong direction. So what I expect to see long-term is the guys who were so good in 2014, the sprint car guys, you know, the guys that love loose race cars.
Yeah,
I look at Kyle Larson.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it comes back into his hands. If Jeff Gordon was still around, it'd be back in his hands. He was not very happy about all that last
yeah.
year. So those are the guys that I think it comes back to, the dirt track guys, the sprint car guys. But at the same time, when Jimmy Johnson wins a race early, he typically likes the cars like we had it in 2015. And so it's encouraging. I think we'll have a lot of different guys winning races. And ultimately, if it goes anywhere back to what we had in 2014, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and you know what was interesting about the race as well is that was a Chad Knaus race, you know, Jimmy Johnson race,
yeah.
Absolutely, because they have all of those long runs. You know, he's over there with the slide rule, figuring out the fact that, you know,
yeah.
If we go in early, we can gain, you know, 0.3 seconds, and after seven laps, we're going to have a 2-second lead. That's about mathematically exactly what happened. On one hand, that kind of tells the rest of the field, oh man, you know, if this comes down to a slide rule situation, we're not going to be able to keep up with definitely that team. But what I thought was most promising was Junior's enthusiasm about how much fun it was to drive. And I think NASCAR goes as Junior goes. And Junior Nation has a lot of control over who's watching and who's not. And I think that, you know, as long as that transfer's over, I think he's got a good chance to win this weekend in Vegas. I think we might see a Ford win because Penske's been sitting back there, and you know at some point they're going to get up there, and Paul Wolf knows how to get his slide rule out as well. So it's going to be awfully interesting, and it would be really interesting to have the three manufacturers each have one win after the first three races.
Well, that's what you want. I mean, honestly, I want to go into the weekend not knowing who's going to win. And I want some variety. You know, I haven't pulled for a driver or a team since Richard Petty retired. So I just assume have a different winner every week. I just want a good story, you know, and Atlanta had its own personality last weekend. You know, I feel like Vegas will be completely different this weekend, probably in a good way. And then when we go to Phoenix, completely different place. So I like to have it, and that's what it was in 2014. It just felt different. You didn't know what was going to happen, and it did it on its own. And so I'm with you. If different guys who typically have different driving styles or typically you have different setups they like in the car, if they're all happy, we're on to something. And everybody, as of right now, seems pretty happy. What's encouraging to me, too, is one thing that happened in Atlanta kind of very quietly is that Roush Fenway ran pretty well, certainly ran better than they have an intermediate track in a while. They were so bad in 2015. And listen, whether you like Ford or not, whether you like Roush Fenway or not, whether you like Greg Biffle or Stenhouse or Bain or not, to me, Roush Fenway, you know, it used to be Roush and Hendrick and the rest of the world. And
right.
To me, it's like the Yankees or the, you know, Red Sox or whatever, the Cowboys. You know, even if you hate the team, it's better off for the sport when those superpowers are relevant. And so for me, I think that having Roush Fenway be relevant is important because there's a lot of good people over there and they've been lost the last couple of years.
Well, and Ford wants to be relevant. I mean, take a look at the Stuart Haas move. I mean, that's Ford basically saying, hey, you know, we just got upstaged by Toyota. We've been a non-conversation really because it was all about Hendrick power and Chevy power. You know, I mean, they're putting their money where their mouth is and really stepping up with the Stuart Haas thing.
And look at the numbers, you know. Look at the number of cars. You know, now that we have this set 36 car thing, you know, now that we know for the most part every week, that's it. I mean, it's 36 full-time teams, and every manufacturer wants an equal part of that. And in theory, they could all get 12, you know, and they could be out there with a level playing field every week, and I think that's what we're starting to see. It's a lot like, you know, my other beat is college football, and it's a lot like conference realignment.
Right.
I mean, it is. It's trying to align yourself with the right teams, trying to put them in the right place, and then trying to have your group of 12 that's just as good as the other group of 12. And it's interesting because that's what's happening right now. And I think that we'll probably see some more moves that maybe we don't see coming.
Yeah, so what's the deal with all of the penalties and suspensions that happened after the Atlanta race?
You know, the rule book has gotten a little out of control thickness-wise. And I think these crew chiefs, honestly, I think they're just trying to figure it out. You know, I talked to the guys at Furniture Row on Wednesday when the penalties came down, and you know, I've known those guys a long time. You know, particularly Joe Garone, the general manager, and Joe. You know, a lot of times these crew chiefs, we didn't know, and you just kind of roll your eyes. I really believe him when he says they don't know. We're talking about a spring in the roof hatch, and it was a tiny mistake, and Joe says he's glad they caught it because now going forward it won't do that. Now listen, they've had a very similar thing before, and so I think that's probably where NASCAR's patience was about to run out. But they're just setting the tone early, and honestly, I think there's also a little bit of paranoia if you've got the NASCAR, you know, bars on your shirt, because they've lost a lot of power over the last 6 months. You know, you think about the drivers council, and you think about the RTA, and you think about the charter thing. They've given up a lot. And so whether subliminal or not, we might see a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to, you know, what used to be the dictatorship is not that way anymore.
Absolutely. I mean, great insight on that, because I think you're absolutely right. It's that balance of power. They need to, you know, have some sort of, or at least a feel that they have some sort of control over the situation, even though it does appear that the driver council and everything has got it pointed in the right direction, and really all they got to do is hang on and not screw it up. But the Vegas race this weekend, who do you see coming out on top?
You know, I've got my eye on Kyle Busch. You know, he has not slowed down a tick from last year, and he could have very easily won the first two races of this year, and so I think he's the guy. You know, you said it. We're talking about spreading the wealth this year, but you look at it, reminds me of Harvick last year. You know, when the changes in the cars were so dramatic from 2014 to 2015, I think we all just assumed that the best car, which was Harvick, would take a little bit of a step backwards while he's figuring it out. Never slowed down all the way through Homestead. And so I think that Kyle Busch has already kind of shown us, like you said, on two wildly different racetracks, he's already shown us that they're going to be fast everywhere they go. So, and he's healthy. He feels good. And, you know, he's happy at home, and this is his hometown track. Amazingly, he's only won one cup race there. And so I think he might be the guy.
Absolutely. Hey, Ryan, we appreciate you joining the show this morning.
Anytime. Hey, and great to meet you in person out in Daytona.
Yeah, absolutely. Finally put a face and a name. But, hey, thank you very much, and we'll definitely catch you down the road.
Anytime.
All right. That was Ryan McGee. And we got a whole lot more coming up on the New Mexico Motorsports Report here exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
New Mexico's only custom car builder magazine is the New Mexico Rods and Rides, with monthly full-color features such as the Business Spotlight, Reader Fever, and a complete listing of all New Mexico car clubs. Pick up a copy at any Napa stores in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, Los Lunas, Berlin, and even Socorro. Contributing columns such as Showtime, Old Time Fun, and the Monthly Cover Car has made New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine a local favorite for over 6 years. Pick up the latest copy today.
New Mexico Stars Indoor Football is here, and their first game kicks off March 11th at the Santa Ana Star Center. New Mexico owned and operated, New Mexico Stars want your family to be part of their family. For more information and tickets, visit nmstarsif.com.
Right now at Larry H. Miller Hyundai, you can get employee pricing on 2015 models. That's employee pricing for you. Some restrictions apply. New Mexico's number one Hyundai dealer, Larry H. Miller Hyundai, across from Cottonwood Mall.
Albuquerque Dragway's 2016 season is off to a fast start.
Over 50 events, including arm drop, crutch style, street legal drags, and thrilling side-by-side action through November.
Don't miss a single minute. The Albuquerque Dragway Mesa del Sol with jet dragsters, funny cars, and hot rods, bracket racing on both the 8th and quarter mile. ABQDragway.com for a schedule. Real outlaw door slammers, top comp, super pro, sportsmen's, and junior dragsters. The 2016 season looks to be the best. ABQDragway.com. See you there.
ABQDragway.com.
The struggle is real.
County threes. Hey, can we put the game on?
Not me, man. That is about done. Go fish.
It could be your friends, your neighbors.
You got your phone, right?
Man, I've only got 20% battery.
Or even you.
Calm down, guys. I've got Next Radio. Anybody have any kinks?
You know, I've actually heard of that. And go fish.
The struggle is real. But there is hope.
Yeah, it's the free app for live radio on your phone. You flip through what's playing now, music, news, sports, it's all there. The best part, for 3 times less battery life and 20 times less data.
Yeah, the rain stopped. Let's go fishing.
Save the day. Be the hero. Never miss another game, score, or a highlight. With the Next Radio app, Sprint, Boost, Virgin are on it. AT&T and T-Mobile are on deck. Download the Next Radio app at Google Play Store to unlock free FM radio on your smartphone.
Next Radio.
Radio you can see and hear.
Albuquerque's most complete auto detailer is Lion Auto Detailing. We pick up your vehicle and return it to you cleaner than when you bought it new. Showroom shine every time. Cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, and motorcycles. Lion Auto Detailing includes a safety check. Cruise as the king of the asphalt jungle. Gift certificates also available for your Lioness. 306 San Pedro Southeast. Call now, 266-2271. That's 266-2271 for a free estimate or to schedule a detail. Showroom shine every time. LionAutomotive.com. The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone call at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right. Welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And if you're into drift or you want to see something cool and you've always wanted to go out and see a drift event, we're going to tell you all about it. Joining us right now is Dan Brockett. How you doing, Dan?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I can't believe we're already to the first drift event this season.
I know. Off season was short.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, depending on how much you have to work on the car, you know, maybe that shortens it up. But, hey, talk about the event coming up next week.
Sure. Event's going to be Saturday, March 12th from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. out at Sandia Motorsports Park, 100 Speedway Boulevard. We're going to do this one a little bit different. We're just running a drift practice, so there's going to be plenty of guys out there that are going to have their first times, or people are going to shake down the cars and stuff. So that's going to be great. On top of that, we're also having kind of an autocross going on at the exact same time. So even if you have a performance car, maybe it's front-wheel drive, maybe it's all-wheel drive, and you want to come out and have fun, this is going to be the event for you. It's only $40 to do the autocross, $60 to drive. If you're drifting, and it's only $10 to spectate for anybody that comes to watch either or.
That's fantastic. So is that the old drift cross that you guys used to do? God, like 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, that was I think the last drift cross we ran was in 2009. So,
well, what's interesting is, I appreciate the fact that you pointing out it's a practice, because I know that we've talked several times about more people wanting to come out, you know, kind of at practice because they feel like maybe, you know, they're not at a comp level, or, you know, maybe they just don't have that confidence, where it just seems to be a little bit more laid back on a practice. I mean, talk about, you know, kind of the difference between what a practice event looks like versus a comp.
Sure. Practice time it's basically going to be 6 hours of pure track time. The track's just going to be open. We're going to have the skid pad open. The skid pad is basically just a big concrete slab where you can do donuts. So even if you want a safe place to do donuts and figure eights and do burnouts and stuff, that's a great place to do it. And once you get confident enough on the skid pad, then you can move out to the track where we'll have a competition course set up, and we'll just be running cars on it all day. But there's no pressure. You get a lot more seat time, because there's no qualification. There's no competition. So it's just a super laid back kind of test and tune. Even if you wanted to just come out there and do that, especially for the autocross section of everything. So it should be a good time for everybody that comes out.
So talk about how the autocross is going to work.
So the autocross is going to run on the south half of the course. We're going to be using the small oval and part of one of the other sides of the big oval for the drifting. And then they're going to kind of set up cones all along the south course. They're going to have lights out. It's going to be timed. So they're going to have a competition to see who can get the fastest time of the day for the different classes that they're going to have. That's kind of going to be a stepping stone to get into SCCA or one of the other autocross groups in town. So they're going to step up and kind of run that while I'm running the drift event. And it's cool. It's nice to actually kind of put your money where your mouth is when you say you're a good driver and you go out and get beat by a Miata.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you what, the autocross is probably one of the ultimate ways, because it's you against the clock. And so there's no mistake time. Like you and I know in comp, I mean, when you're door to door, sometimes you just got to be better than the other guy. You don't necessarily have to be the best, but when you get to autocross, I mean, you know, all of your flaws show, and it really is about driving.
It is. It is. Slow is fast. Smooth is fast.
As smooth as, yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's why, you know, Guthrie's always been, you know, been so successful is he is so smooth.
He is, absolutely.
You know, and I think that that's a huge difference. Let's talk a little bit about the evolution of drift. I mean, I was thinking, you know, drift always was kind of thought of as kind of a young man sport, kind of getting into the sport. But yet, now you look, and it's been around a while. It's not the new kid on the block necessarily. Talk a little bit maybe how the culture has changed or evolved in the drift community.
It's changed a ton. It's funny that you mentioned that because, I mean, it all started in Japan with this guy named Keiichi Tsuchiya, who was a Japanese touring car driver, and he amassed a bunch of fans by drifting while he was racing, and people loved it. So people would come out just to watch him drive because he was sliding around the corners.
Right.
And then eventually he stopped doing grand touring and started drifting in Japan. And eventually our first event in the United States was in 2001. So drifting in the United States professionally has been around since 2001.
Wow.
200 horsepower cars, 300 horsepower cars, maybe max. And then around 2005 or 2006, we had some big names like Reese Millen and Tanner Faust and all of those guys kind of got involved. And then the horsepower started going up.
Right.
And then kind of it's starting to become one of the money sports out there. And it's now, I think the average horsepower in Formula Drift is around 850 or 860 horsepower.
Wow. And see, and that is how things always evolve. I mean, they start as, you know, I mean, even hot rodding and drag racing. I mean, really start as, you know, guys who were in shops that were, you know, wanted to compete each other on the weekend and basically show what they could do. And then, I mean, look at, you know, NHRA now. I mean,
exactly.
It's a show. It's an entertainment. I mean, Fox has stepped up to make a commitment 18 out of 24 races and actually do them live. So
that's good.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. Because you know, I mean, finally they're getting a little bit of sponsor money, getting some love, and you know, and made it to that level where people can watch it live. But the culture I thought was always kind of a youth culture involved with it. I mean, you've totally embraced that with the Whiskey Garage brand that you built. Talk a little bit about how you having fun with drift and your other endeavors.
Yeah, it's great. You can basically, I mean, drifting is like any other extreme sport. You always have a couch to stay on if you go somewhere. There's always an event happening somewhere. You always know somebody in some town. All you have to do is make a post on Facebook, say, "Hey, I'm in town," and you always got somebody to go eat dinner with or hang out with or do cool stuff with. So in that regard, drifting is super awesome. I don't know if other motorsports are like that. I don't know if there's that level of camaraderie, but that's, I think, why guys like Jim Guthrie like it so much. They've done other motorsports. They've done drag racing. They've done Indy racing, and it's super competitive, and everybody stays kind of in their own camps, and drifting's totally different. We're very open. Everybody's sharing parts and giving each other high fives in the pits. It's kind of a different racing life, I guess you could say.
Absolutely. And of course, you've been involved with the motorcycle drift car battles. Do you got another one coming up? I mean, you kind of mentioned that there was some thoughts about maybe doing a fifth.
Yeah, I think they're thinking about it. It takes them some time. I think it took them about a year and a half to get this one planned. So they just released that last one 3 or 4 months ago. So.
Yeah, you know what was interesting is I was at the Daytona 500 and Can-Am sponsored the duels, and they had a big reveal. They had a new, a new motorcycle, you know, three wheeler, if you will. It came out with slicks on it and everything. And one of the things that they were talking about is that you would be able to drift this bike. And of course, you know, I caught up on that right away. Asked, well, are you guys going to take this to a competition level or whatever your other thoughts on that? And you know, they seem very excited about it. As a matter of fact, it sounded like a Formula V is what the motor actually sounded like, and just an awesome, awesome looking bike. But when I started talking to him about, you know, I mean, actually drifting a bike other than just, you know, drifting it for fun or, you know, with themselves, they kind of looked at me like they didn't know what I was talking about. So it's funny. So I sent them to the videos. I said, hey, just go check out these. I mean, Google a motorcycle drift car battle, and if you want to see what like drift a bike is really all about, it was fascinating. Do you foresee potentially, you know, at the pro level, there actually being an evolution, or is it already happening and maybe I'm just not aware of it, that motorcycles are gonna get more into this drifting?
So it's kind of a different thing altogether. So now in motorcycle stunting competitions all around the country, they have included drifting as one of the criteria that they want to see in those guys' runs. So it's not necessarily moved over into like a full tandem competition course layout like with cars, but they want to see guys drifting in their runs when they're doing their freestyle stuff. So and who knows, maybe it'll move forward from there and once more guys start learning how to do it, because right now I think there's only four or five guys that can actually do it well.
Yeah, absolutely. And two of them you guys work with on the videos.
So, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's
absolutely amazing. So let's remind people how they can get more information. I mean, they've got, you know, got a week, you know, to make some plans and make to come out. Where would they get more information on the Drift Cross?
You guys can head over to my blog. It's www.danbrockett, that's B-R-O-C-K-E-T-T, drift.com. And I have the full schedule with tech requirements for the autocross as well as the drifting, and the full schedule for the season is up there.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, Dan, we appreciate you giving a few minutes this morning.
Hey, no problem. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Hopefully we'll
see you guys out there.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Hey, that's Dan Brockett, and he's going to be doing his Drift Cross next weekend out at Sandia Motor Speedway. We got a whole lot more. Stay tuned. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
The sun is shining and the open road is calling. With Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, now is time to build your legend. Kick off your riding season at Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque's one-year anniversary celebration. Join the party on Saturday, March 19th from 12 to 5 as we celebrate with a vintage bike show, live music, and prizes. Come by and share your legendary Indian Motorcycle story and get exclusive Indian Motorcycle swag. Plus, test drive the new 2016 Indian Motorcycle and register to win a WASP cam so you can document your riding adventures this season. Be part of the Indian Motorcycle legend. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Fresh figs stuffed with gorgonzola, wrapped in prosciutto and grilled, finished with a port wine reduction. Or maybe fresh swordfish grilled, served on butternut squash risotto topped with fresh fennel relish. Or maybe authentic chicken cacciatore is more your style. Paisano's Italian Restaurant is the only Italian restaurant where you can get a pizza, pasta dish, or even a sandwich that's wheat and gluten-free. If you can't tolerate wheat or gluten, I'll bet it's been a long time since you've had a great Italian meal. I'm Rick Camuglia, and I'm like you. That's why I've created special wheat and gluten-free items here at Paisano's. Satisfy your craving for authentic Italian cuisine now at Paisano's. Eat at a real Italian restaurant. Eat at Paisano's on Eubank. Paisano's authentic Italian cuisine starts at just $5.95. You'll spend more than that at a burger joint's drive-up window. Paisano's Italian Restaurant on Eubank at Indian School. If quality matters to you, it's got to be Paisano's Italian Restaurant.
Locally owned and operated, Maddox Management is a full-service property management company. They rent and manage residential rentals, single-family homes, multifamily properties, townhomes, condos, lofts, and commercial properties of all types, including retail, industrial, and office space. Maddox Management utilizes paperless statements and direct deposit. Combined with exceptional retention rates and greater occupancy, you will have a hassle-free relationship. Maddox Management at 515 Central, just west of I-25, or call today 505-242-0989. That's 242-0989. MaddoxMGMT.com.
Attention, New Mexico. It's time to make the healthy switch. No, we're not talking about your cereal or another fad diet. We're talking about making your wallet and insurance coverage healthier. First Santa Fe Insurance, a Safeco premier partner agency, has been providing insurance to New Mexicans since 1926. They'll help you plan for the unexpected surprises and find the coverage that fits your budget. Take advantage of their expert advice and premier coverage plans designed to make your wallet and insurance coverage healthier. Visit firstsfinsurance.com or simply call 798-5850.
Platinum is a word reserved for premium products. Hence why you've never seen platinum corn dogs or platinum toothpicks. So you know Pennzoil Platinum is the good stuff. And now Napa's got Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Oil for just $5.29 a quart. Plus, buy 12 quarts, you get $2 per quart back by mail. For just $5.29 a quart, you'll get premium oil for a corn dog price. That's Napa know-how. General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 3/31/16.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
Welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 Team. Now let's talk a little NHRA before the morning gets away from us. Leah Pritchett raced to her first Top Fuel victory Sunday at the CarQuest Auto Parts NHRA Nationals. Pritchett used a quicker reaction time in a performance of 3.775 at 323.12 miles per hour to finish in front of Brittany Force's 3.774 at 321.35 in her John Force Racing Dragster. It was the first all-female Top Fuel since Shirley Muldowney defeated Lucille Lee back in 1982. That's right, 1982 in Columbus, Ohio. She is the 16th woman to win a Mellow Yellow Racing Series and 8th to win in the Top Fuel category. Tom Wilkerson won Funny Car, Jason Lyon Pro Stock, both at the Wild Horse Pass Motorsports Park. In Funny Car, Wilkerson earned his 19th career victory and first at Phoenix by taking out longtime rival John Forrest with a run of 3.937 at 320.43 in a Ford Shelby Mustang. Lyon beat Chris Mageja with a 6.666, that's the sign of the devil, by the way, at 205.16 in a Chevy Camaro for his 38th Pro Stock victory. It was Lyon's second consecutive final round appearance of the season, and the two-time world champ takes over the series points lead. And that was brought to you by Yearwood Performance. Yeah, check out yearwoodperformance.com. Yearwood, you know Yearwood. They've been around since 1968 over at 341 Eubank, and now they got the new location at 9674 Eagle Ranch Road. And, you know, if you got to go in there, as a matter of fact, I was in the other day, they have a full line of stuff, and they're there to help you. That's the best thing. You know, a lot of those items, if you buy them online and you bring it in and it's not the right one, and then you got to go through all sin and all back, but they can hook you up with everything, whether it's fuel injection, nitrous, you need, you know, gauges. I mean, everything you need, they've got it right there. So make sure you buy local, shop local, yearwoodperformance.com. And as a matter of fact, the drag racing season is getting underway this month. That's right, this month already out at ABQ Dragway. So you want to make sure that you check that out, abqdragway.com, get a complete listing of all the 50 races they got coming up. It's going to be a very exciting season. Also want to remind you, if you are interested in, you know, customizing a car or you want to do a full restoration, don't forget J. Walton Automotive. And now a division of J. Walton Automotive is Loose Customs. That's L-U-C-E Customs. And you can check them out. And they can do full restoration, you know, with all the mechanicals, everything that you need and design and everything. As a matter of fact, Caleb Luce just won another event a couple of weeks ago, and he's really starting to stack up the trophies and become quite a local builder. But you want to make sure you check out Loose Customs. And, of course, if you want to hear the New Mexico Motorsports Report in top-quality sound by, you know, manufacturers like Alpine, don't forget Driver's Den. It's Driver's Den over at San Pedro and Constitution. You can check them out at driversdenabq.com. But we've got a whole lot more coming up next week, and you want to make sure to check that out. We're going to have a lot of live audio that we're going to pick up this weekend at Las Vegas. We're going to be checking it out up close and personal, get a lot of quotes and everything. So you want to make sure that you tune in next week for that. But tune in every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. for the New Mexico Motorsports Report exclusively here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
Thank you for listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine, here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Join us again next week where your host David Swope will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine, if you are into it, we are into it.
been denied a business loan? When banks say no, we say yes. 98% overnight approval rate and your money in days. FICA credit score is not an issue. Good credit, bad credit, you'll be approved. New Mexico Capital Funding, 363-5800, 363-5800. New Mexico's leader in sports, ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team, KQTM FM. 101.7 KQTM Rio Rancho Albuquerque, your hometown radio station.